Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, out of your busy life, to join me today on my radio program. Today is Monday, September 26th, 2022. We're heading into the 10th day of the Revolution for Freedom in Iran, massive protests across 80 cities in Iran with over 40 protesters violently killed in the midst of this uprising. And it all began on September 16th when Mahsa Amini was beaten to death while in custody for wearing her hijab improperly. And since then, there has been an outrage and a revolution going on in Iran, and I will continue to cover this and be a voice for my dear Iranian friends. And it reminds me of what the Bible says for all of us, not just me, but for all of us who live here in the West and all over the world and are watching these events unfold every day. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 through 9. It's a command for us. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. This is a passion, not just a command for me to be obeyed. It is a passion because in large parts, even though there has been some media coverage, there isn't enough coverage, and Iranians are just asking for us to be their voice, and that is what we are going to do. That's why when I begin this program, I'm reporting on the events that are happening in Iran. I'm watching the videos all over Instagram and Twitter, and it causes me to weep to see the destructive brutality of how these Iranian youth are treated for simply protesting the unjust death of one young girl who didn't deserve to be beaten simply because her hijab was showing a little bit of hair underneath. This is the oppression my friends live under every single day. Now, we have a lot to accomplish on this broadcast. I got some sound bites of the protest, but I want to start out with a very tragic story. I've been posting on my Facebook and Instagram the faces and the brief stories of Iranian youth that have been killed. One caught my attention that just I could not believe how horrible it was. It's a young 20-year-old girl who lives in Karaj. Her name is Hadis Najafi. Her picture is all over my Facebook. She is a 20-year-old woman, and in this video, you see her prepping her hair. She's pulling her hair back. She's removed her hijab, and she's putting it in like a ponytail. She's going to tie it up because she's going to go out and face the protesters. And it's a video shot during the evening, I think, where you see her pulling her hair back, tying it up, and then it was more than a few seconds later that her life ended. She was shot 6 times by authorities after tying her unscarved hair back and boldly stepping into the middle of a protest in Karaj. Witnesses say that security forces, and this is a girl that is simply peacefully protesting, but she removed her headscarf and tied her hair back. Her reports are that she was shot in the chest, the face, and the neck. Others say it was in the abdomen and in the heart, and she was rushed to the hospital, of course, later died because of the extent of her injuries. Her crime was wanting freedom. She was very upset over the death of Mahsa Amini, like millions of us are, and she was reported to be a kind-hearted girl that loved dancing. In fact, there is a video of Hadas dancing, celebrating life. But when she heard about the death of Mahsa Amini, she was outraged, and just like every other young Iranian, took to the street. Only 20 years old, her heart was broken for Mahsa Amini. She said, "I will not stay silent." And for her simple, peaceful protest, she was killed with 6 bullets. I want us to never forget this name. We talk about the name of Mahsa Amini, but please never forget the name of Hadas Najafi, 20 years old, simply peacefully protesting against the death of Mahsa Amini, and she was gunned down and executed. It is horrific. It is just absolutely unacceptable. What I want to do right now is spend a little time, and I want to share with you some reports on the protests. A couple of days ago, there is one more recent. This is from CBS News reporting in Iran. Let's listen.
Overseas in Iran, the government is cracking down on demonstrators following nearly a week of mass protests over the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini while in custody of the morality police. Human rights groups say at least 50 people have been killed during the unrest. Here's CBS's Ramin Asensio.
Women defiantly taking off their head coverings, breaking Islamic law. Some going further, burning their hijabs in protest, even cutting their hair. These anti-government protests were sparked by the death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini. Iran's so-called morality police arrested her for wearing an improper hijab and claimed she suffered a heart attack while in detention. Her family believes she was beaten to death. The protests, the biggest since 2019, have touched a nerve. Now women and men have spilled into the streets, attacking authoritarian symbols, chanting death to the dictator, even stoning an image of Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Sanam Vakil is an Iran policy expert.
It showcases the level of public anger. People are just fed up. This is a generation of Iranians that are pushing back.
They're angry for so many reasons. Rising poverty, soaring inflation, crushing sanctions on top of government repression. They forced Iranian security, the Basij, to flee. This commander bloodied, this policeman killed. But human rights groups say civilian deaths are rising too as the government cracks down and shuts down web access to stop the world from seeing videos like these.
And when the internet was cut 3 years ago, a crackdown on mass protests happened soon after. Iran's military today has already threatened violence, saying it is ready to deal with its enemies. Tarika?
Yeah, those images, tough to watch. Ramey, thank you.
It was in 2019, just 3 years ago. And in fact, this November will be the 3-year anniversary when, of course, there was a rise in gas prices that prompted the outrage. But it wasn't only that. It's the oppression. It is the religious oppression. It is the oppression against women, of course. And it all culminated into 70 cities at that time. And there was right away a response from the government in 2019, just like this year, where they shut down the internet. Now, when they did that to do their best to conceal to the world what they were doing to these innocent, peaceful protesters. Most of them are innocent and peaceful. There are a few that are violent, but most of them are innocent and peaceful. In that two-week period when they shut down the internet in 2019, conservative figures report that at least 1,500 protesters were shot and killed. I'll never forget reporting on this for 2 weeks straight. Just unreal. And in fact, bodies of protesters were floating down some of the rivers of Iran. And this is just unprecedented. You see some of the videos of the police and the security on top of roofs firing down into the crowd of protesters. Now, this time, they're doing much the same thing. They've shut down the internet across Iran. And you can see actually video where they have used metal pellets, not just bullets, that really are very severe. I've seen the backs of Iranians. They're displaying all of these red pepper dots all on their back and up and down their legs from using metal pellets. And they're not only just using live ammunition, bullets, but they're using metal pellets as a deterrent. And you want to see the horrific wounds all over the backs and bodies of Iranians. And this is going on for one simple reason. It is not simply about inflation. It's not simply about gas prices this time around or sanctions. It is about freedom. It is about being able to wear what I want to wear and believe what I want to believe. And as soon as one person, whether on purpose or by mistake, shows a little bit of too much skin or hair or makeup, the response is that they are taken into a van and taken to re-education camp to learn about the Islamic dress code. And in most cases, they're returned safely. But in the case of Mahsa, she was brutally beaten, even though they reject that and say that she died of a heart attack. There's no evidence of that. She was beaten to a pulp and then left to die in a coma. And you can understand the outrage of these Iranian people. They are sick of the oppression. They are sick of the religious rules. They are sick of everything. And they are not going to back down. This protest this year has morphed into more than 80 or 90 cities across Iran, and there is really no evidence that it's weakening. I want to continue the report this morning because not only in Iran are there protests, but there are rallies across the United States here with Iranian Americans in several cities standing up and being a voice for their Iranian friends and family. And I have a friend, Mona Elisa, who lives in Georgia. She has a group called Georgia Persians, and this past weekend they had a rally outside, and she sent the video up on Facebook showing the rally and the people chanting with signs and pictures and faces of Mahsa. But I want to focus in now on one particular rally that took place this past weekend in Berkeley, and it's also a report about the extent of the protest. So let's listen right now to these Iranian Americans in solidarity with their Iranian compatriots.
Now to a developing story we're following tonight in Iran, where more than two dozen people are dead as protests escalate over the death of a 22-year-old woman in police custody. She was arrested for allegedly not wearing her hijab properly in public, and her death has sparked both questions and condemnation from world leaders and the United Nations. KTVU's Jana Katsuyama joining us live tonight from UC Berkeley, where hundreds of people gathered earlier tonight in solidarity with that young woman. Jana?
Alex, so many people here said they were just heartbroken to see what's going on overseas. Many of them are having difficulty getting in touch with friends and family because of communication blocks there. But there were hundreds of people, I would say maybe 500 or more, who came here to have a candlelight vigil to speak out and march. Putting their pain into signs and chants of protest, hundreds of people from the Bay Area's Iranian communities joined together at UC Berkeley Friday night. They chanted the name of Mahsa Amini, a 22-year-old Iranian woman who died in police custody after she was arrested September 16th by Iran's morality police for allegedly not wearing her hijab headscarf tightly enough. Police say she died of heart failure. Witnesses say she was beaten in the head.
This is a really big landmark for our people, a really big landmark for women's rights in Iran.
Hasti Mofidi, a UC Berkeley student, says she thinks how she could have been in Amini's shoes. The crowd, a mix of young and old, spoke in English and Farsi, grieving for the young woman, angry at the regime that imposes mandatory head coverings on women in Iran and has cut off social media to quell the protests that have erupted across the country.
Communication has been cut, voices have been silenced. We're here to kind of bring that voice back.
Many at the candlelight vigil say they are inspired by the Iranian women and supporters who have since taken to the streets in Iran, removing their hijabs and burning them. Dozens have been killed in the protests.
Definitely worried about, you know, our family and friends back there. But at the same time, everyone is proud. We are all proud of our women, and we are all proud of the new generation who's so brave.
I'm very proud of Iranian women because I grew up in Iran, and it's they are so brave that they take off their headscarf in front of the troops.
A frustration and deep desire for change in the country that has been ruled by religious leaders since the revolution a generation ago.
25 years ago, this may have only touched a few people, a few families and a few lives of a few people. Now there's no reason why the whole world shouldn't know about it. And social media makes it easier for people to get angry and express that anger that they're mobilizing, not just in Iran, but probably all over the world. The whole diaspora is affected by this.
And this is just the beginning of action this week. Tomorrow at San Francisco City Hall at 11 o'clock, there is another protest that's scheduled. And then on Sunday at 11, they plan to make a human chain across the Golden Gate Bridge. Alex.
All right. An incredible show of solidarity tonight in Berkeley. Jana, thank you.
The name of Mahsa Amini has become a household word literally all over the world. And as you watch these protests and as you see them clashing with security forces, you see women burning their hijabs and chanting, freedom, women, you can understand the pain and just the frustration and just the tiredness of this youth of dealing with these old men, these mullahs that have ruled them from the cradle to the grave to get them to comply. It's not just about a piece of cloth over the head. That is symptomatic of something far more deeper. It is the chant for fundamental human rights and fundamental freedom, that seven-letter word that has caused the death of millions, that thirst, that hunger, that fight for survival and freedom. I want to also talk about, in the midst of these protests as we've been covering, that how the media in Iran is being treated, how the journalists are being treated. Journalists inside of Iran are afraid of openly speaking out. And there's nearly now a dozen journalists, and at least three of them women, that have been detained or arrested over coverage of the protests and the coverage of the death in custody of Mahsa Amini, 22 years old. Now, of course, you know why the government wants to arrest the media and the journalists. It's obvious why they want to do that. They don't want the truth to come out. And journalists are supposed to give an oath of fidelity and truth when they report on the facts. Now, most of the media here in the United States is corrupt, but there are those truthful journalists, and especially if you live in Iran, you're not going to muddy up the story unless you're on the list of government benefits. Most Iranian journalists are truthful and accurate, and this is the reason why they have been put into custody. The three female journalists in custody, photojournalist Yalda Morey, as she reported on the arrest on Instagram covering the protests. There's Nilufar Hamidi, a reporter for Sharj Daily. She was reporting directly on Amina's case. And another reporter, Fatima Rajabi, who's a reporter in Tehran. Now, a female activist and her husband are also believed to be detained, the group has said. Authorities questioned Hamidi, that is Nilufar Hamidi, about her visits to the hospital where Amini was taken, and then they confiscated her equipment. And this is how, of course, they're treated, because they're covering the death of Mahsa Amini and the protests. And, of course, they don't want that information and that accurate information to get out to the public. So, again, and this is nothing shocking. We all know what goes on in Iran. We all know the oppression of women and freedom, how it's very laxed in Iran, of course. And these photojournalists and journalists that have been arrested before, it's not new for them. They are fully aware of the risk of covering the current protests. And, of course, the news channels will tell them, give them instructions to not report on the ongoing protests. But as journalists who are faithful, who want to be truthful in their field, are not going to listen to those commands and obey them. They're going to go out and get the story and report it as it is. So we need to also not only keep the young people that are out in the streets protesting, we not only need to be a voice for them, but we need to also pray and be a voice for the journalist. It's a very dangerous situation to be a journalist in Iran, and you have to really put your life out on the line. Now, what I want to do with our time remaining here on the broadcast today, I want to shift the focus a little bit. I want to talk about the issue of freedom, because this is what it's all about. Humanity has a thirst for freedom. Revolutionary war was fought for our independence from Great Britain. World War I, World War II was fought to defeat the tyrant Germany for oppressing and destroying the world and wanting to be dictator. Hitler wanted complete and total unchallenged power across the entire globe. So we could go on and on talking this morning about freedom. And freedom from tyranny and freedom from governments is very important. This is why I do my broadcast every Monday and Thursday. I always want to be a voice of hope and freedom for my Iranian friends. Thus the name of the program, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. But I want to deal with this whole topic of freedom. I want us to understand what true freedom really is. And that's the subject of this morning's teaching. The name of it may catch your attention, may make you think a little bit, and I hope it does. Because I want to take us back to an event about 33 years ago, and I want to talk about this event and help us to understand the whole topic of Iran and freedom. It was on June 12, 1987, that President Ronald Reagan gave a powerful and memorable challenge to the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev as he stood proudly in front of the Berlin Wall to a cheering crowd. He said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall." Those are very, very powerful words that we have never forgotten. That was on June 12, 1987. It was 2 years later, on November 9, 1989, that Reagan's challenge to Gorbachev about tearing down this wall became a reality. the concrete barrier of the Cold War that had separated communist East Berlin from the West collapsed as thousands of people in mass droves crossed to the other side in jubilant celebration. We all saw that footage of that, and we were just in awe, much like when we see these protests in Iran. What was the news about this collapse? Communism had finally collapsed, and freedom had arrived. There would no longer be a death strip between the East and the West. No more machine guns, no more guard dogs. And although it would take another two full years before the complete physical demolition of the wall was complete, the celebration had begun. November 9, 1989, the death of communism was now a reality. East and West could travel back and forth freely. That's what I want to speak to us this morning about, as all of us are mesmerized and awestruck about the protests in Iran, as all of us are standing up and being a voice for the Iranian people to be successful in having democracy and freedom. I want to talk to us about freedom. This powerful seven-letter word has been the passionate driving force in the hearts of humanity for thousands of years. And freedom, the thirst, the struggle for freedom has caused the death of millions of people fleeing oppressive governments. This seven-letter word is one of the most precious words in the English language, one of the most powerful words on the lips of those giving their lives to be free from dictatorship governments. Christian artist Wayne Watson, reflecting on the historical fall of the Berlin Wall some 33 years ago, composed a thought-provoking song on the subject of freedom. And that song causes us to think deeply about what true liberty really is. I want you to hear the chorus of the song. I'm going to play it later, but I just want to recite it right now. The chorus of this song by Wayne Watson gets right to the point about what Wayne believes true freedom really is. Quote, freedom, people cry for freedom, but freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Oh, freedom, give the people freedom, but give the people Jesus, or they got nothing off. That is very powerful, and I want to expound on that. I want us to get a grip on what true liberty really is. Wayne Watson is challenging you and me to think about what true freedom really is. Millions of people celebrated the destruction of the physical wall, the Berlin Wall, that tore down the barriers of an oppressive political philosophy that had kept them in bondage for many years. There was a celebration. Humanity was no longer bound at that time by the chains of a dictatorship that had enslaved them to a government that ruled their lives from the cradle to the grave. When the Berlin Wall came down, now people celebrated. They could think and believe for themselves. And the point is, surely this is what true freedom is all about. Well, wait a minute. 2,000 years before the historic collapse of the Berlin Wall, another powerful and life-changing speech was given to a mass of people. Jesus stood before his disciples and a crowd of religious leaders and made an astounding proclamation. He declared, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We've heard that quoted so many times, haven't we? But we need to keep things in context. Jesus also talked about a freedom and the impact it would have on our lives. And let's look closely at the kind of freedom that Jesus was speaking about. Let's read this verse in context. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my sayings and teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Wait a minute, but we are descendants of Abraham, the religious leader said. We have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be set free? Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, truly free." I want you to notice carefully the reaction of these religious leaders. In Jewish heritage, being part of the great patriarchal family of Abraham, it conferred a special status on the individual Jew. And the religious leaders were astonished at what Jesus had just said to them. Being in the family of Abraham gave them great dignity and value. That's why they said, "Well, we are descendants of Abraham." How can Jesus dare to question this Abrahamic heritage? They believed they were truly free. There was no corruption and bondage to break free from Jesus. However, Jesus points directly at the heart of their problem, which is our problem too. Slavery to sin. The Pharisees and the scribes looked pure and clean on the outside. They boasted about this all the time. They loved to boast about their own righteousness, their own spirituality. In their eyes, they were perfectly obedient to God's law, and that caused them to look down on the masses of other people. They loved to walk around and portray their spirituality about, "We're fasting, look at our face, look at us as we pray." They love to parade their righteousness and spirituality before the people. And again, this outward image of true freedom can be very, very deceptive. Now, the image of that freedom was celebrated on a fall day in November when the Berlin Wall collapsed. But think back to what Wayne Watson said. He aptly points out in his song, "Freedom without Jesus is just another wall." We have this wall that have been destroyed. We can now move back and forth freely between East and West Berlin. Communism is dead. We're truly free. But wait a minute. What is true freedom? The physical wall had been demolished, but there is another wall. It's the wall within our souls that is still holding humanity in bondage. That bondage is the death grip of sin. The human heart is in the death grip of sin until it is set free and the chains are broken by the power of Christ. Physical freedom, it's wonderful, but it's not enough. Humanity can celebrate freedom from oppressive governments when they fall, but freedom without Jesus, it's just another wall. What's the point? Jesus offers us, that is you and me, a freedom that no government in the world can ever give us. It is a freedom that breaks the power of corruption and sin in our hearts. It is a freedom that opens our eyes to what it means to have a living and vibrant relationship with the very God of the universe. It is a freedom that allows us to dream big and experience a true life of true joy beyond anything we can imagine or think. Now, as a Christian author and a human rights activist for Iranians, I have a passion to be a voice for their freedom. I wouldn't be doing this program if that wasn't true. It is my pleasure to fight for the rights, the human rights, and to write books to bring awareness to the world about the Iranians' plight for freedom and justice. However, and here's the important point, I have a very important responsibility to make sure that I persuade them of a freedom that transcends the oppression of physical governments. The gospel is the true freedom that every Iranian needs. It is the power of the gospel that breaks the chains of sin and liberates us from the inward corruption that keeps you and me in bondage. Just remember this. I will never stop speaking out for my Iranian friends. I will continue to fight for their right to be free. I will always email government leaders. I will always be a voice for political prisoners on death row demanding their freedom. All of that is good and absolutely necessary, but, and here's my point that I'm making for you, and I hope that you consider it too, we must balance out our passion with the truth of God's word. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the true freedom that humanity needs. We can never be truly free until the walls of sin are torn down in our hearts. I want you now to take just a few minutes and listen to this monumental song with this message I've just shared with you about. This is Wayne Watson, Freedom. We'll be right back. Wayne Watson with some very well relevant, wise words of counsel. Freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Here's what we need to do, patriots. As we watch these young, brave Iranian freedom fighters out on the street, standing up and giving their lives for what we're talking about this morning, freedom, let us pray diligently that they come into contact with the truth, that they hear the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ and find their true hope and freedom in Jesus. There is the largest underground church in the world in Iran. There are millions of Iranians who worship underground because of the oppressive government, but they also openly proclaim the gospel unashamedly publicly. I am praying in the midst of this turmoil, in the midst of this violence and death, for an incredible revival to break out all over Iran, and that Iranians in their quest for democracy and freedom, which we're fighting and praying they get, we want that to happen. We want God to bless this country with a government that doesn't rule them with an iron fist. But as we pray for that, let's also pray for an incredible revival. The Spirit of God would work in the hearts of these angry, hurting, oppressed protesters, and they would find the true freedom that's found in Jesus. That's what we need to do. As I watch these protests, my heart breaks, and I see them out on the streets. They're fighting to survive. They are so tired of the oppression, but there is a freedom that they need to know about, that you and I can be a part of helping them to know through prayer, through reaching out and asking God that they would come in contact with another Christian there that would teach them, would share with them the gospel so they could know the truth and be set free. I really appreciate you taking time this morning to join me on this broadcast. Please share the story of Iranians all over your pages, and please pray for them to not only find democracy and freedom, but true freedom in Christ. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. God bless you. Have a great, great day.